This morning we conclude our short baptism series on Psalm 127, the third sermon in that series. We'll be considering verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 127, and that's the psalm that we will read as well this morning. So we read God's Word, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And now begins the text. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Thus far, we read God's Word. So pray and ask for God's blessing in the preaching. Father in heaven, every Lord's Day when we gather for worship, we know our need to hear the preaching of the gospel. We know our need for the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to take this word so that it lives and grows in our hearts and in our lives. We pray for that again this morning. We pray for that in a very specific way. We pray for that because of all of the attacks that Satan through the world assaults our homes with. We understand and know that our Christian homes are under attack in this day in which we live. And our homes need protection. They need the protection of Thy Word. They need the protection of the preaching. They need, Father, this, and we are thankful that Thou dost give it to us. So we pray that as there are many distractions for us in our homes, that we would be reminded this morning of the high calling that we have in our homes, and especially that we have as parents, to teach and instruct our children so that they may take up their place as faithful warriors in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray then, Father, that Thou wilt give to us now through the work of the Holy Spirit strength to hear this word, and may we meditate on it. And may we give ourselves now to the hard work of hearing the preaching of the gospel. Give strength to Thy servant as well. As he proclaims this word, may he do so clearly and in truth for the glory of Thy great name as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and as His mouthpiece. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by remembering what it is that we have learned out of Psalm 127. We understand that this psalm is a psalm about the building of our homes. The psalm uses the figure of the building of the temple as Solomon remembered that and uses that to be a picture of the building of our homes. We should remember what the Christian home is. We said in the first sermon in this series that the Christian home is a place where God is honored and worshipped. And that home then is built by God through the giving of children and through the instruction as well of those children so that from one generation to another it is handed down that we as God's people must worship and honor God in all of life. We learned as well of our dependence upon God in this. That's the way the psalm begins. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So we give ourselves in the work God has called us to, but without the presence of God, without the blessing of God, all of that is vanity. It's empty. We saw as well our dependence upon God in the work that He has given us to do. The other thing that we've seen as we looked at the psalm is the blessing of children in the home. That's verse 3. Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now we remember the idea of that. That does not mean that your home is blessed only if you have children or only if you have many children. We understand and know that God's blessing is found in all the circumstances of life. Even as I prayed this morning for us all, we understand and know that we are blessed by God because of His kindness, because of His goodness, because of the favor that He shows to us in Jesus Christ. We have Him. But yet one of the ways in which God does bless in the home is by giving children. So again, we remember if you don't have children or those who are single and they don't have children, if you don't have children, that doesn't mean you're not blessed. But we do understand and know the blessing of God in giving children. But they're blessings not because having children in our home is all laughs and all fun. We know it's not. It's hard work. It's getting up in the middle of the night with a child that's sick or crying or wants to be fed. It involves as well rearing and instructing sinful children who at times are rebellious and disobedient. And so then we see and understand that children are blessings not from the perspective of the joy they give us, but from the perspective of the way that God works in the line of generations. We saw the covenant blessing that children are. And then because that's true, we're to desire children. We're to desire children in our homes, and we're to desire children in the church. Not simply hoping that having children kind of fits in with the other goals that we have. No, this is a foremost goal that we have, an aim that we have in our homes, that we would have children and many children according to the will of God. Having children, we learned, is a priority for us. But now as we come to the last two verses in Psalm 127, this is what we learn from these two verses. We learn the purpose of our parenting. Or another way to put that is we learn that we have a high calling in our homes where God has given these children to train them in the fear of God, to train them with a target in mind. That idea comes out of the figure that is found here in the text. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children in our homes are compared to arrows in the hand of a warrior. We're given a figure here to think about. As parents were to think about this, as grandparents were to think about this, as church were to think about this, the children God gives are as arrows. And the text says as well, so are children of the youth. That's to do with the fact that God gives us children when we're young, and that's to be the desire as well, that we don't wait, as the world often says now, wait till you're much older to have children. No, when we're young, we have these children, and we teach them in the ways of God. But what we see this morning is the important calling that we have as parents to train, to instruct, to teach our children with a certain target in mind. Now, why is that so important? Well, we understand this morning the importance is not that the salvation of our children depends on it. And it's a good thing. God is the one who saves. God's the one who works in the hearts. But the importance is this: God uses means. God uses means to teach our children. And we're the means. We want to be used as the means of God. So we must be faithful in the calling that God gives to us. That's what we see this morning in detail. And we consider then the text under the theme as arrows in our hands. That's what children are, as arrows in our hands. Notice first, training for warfare. Secondly, aiming for a goal or for a target. And then finally, finding joy. The text is teaching us that our children are to be trained for spiritual warfare in a sinful and wicked world. The whole concept of warfare comes out here in the text and in the psalm in two ways. First of all, when you go back to verse 1 of the psalm, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. There you find the concept of warfare. And the watchman who goes up into the tower and he is looking around as part of the defense of the city for the enemies that may come against the city. There you have the concept of warfare. Secondly, you find that here in the text with the figure that is used of arrows. Children here are compared to arrows in the hand of a mighty man, in the hand of a warrior. Now today, any of you who hunt might think of arrows from the perspective of hunting, and that would be true in that day as well, but there is another reason to have arrows and even to have an abundance of arrows. It was because they were used in the battle. This is before the days of guns and bombs and tanks and missiles and jet fighter planes. It's before all of that. Arrows were an essential part of battle. They were an essential weapon in the warfare of that day. A warrior would never think of going into battle without having arrows. And in fact, an abundant supply of arrows in his quiver. And so the idea here is of warfare. The church of God, the people of God on earth, are called to spiritual warfare as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. The Scriptures speak of that too. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. There's a great battle that's going on. We know the battle's been won. The victory has been won by our Lord Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross. But that victory has not been fully realized or consummated for the church. That will come when Jesus Christ returns. But in the meantime, we are still called, as those who have the victory of Jesus Christ, to fight against the forces of darkness and sin in this world. And the way we fight is that we're called to advance God's truth in this world. We're called to defend His truth in this world. And we are called to holy living in a dark and sinful world. That's part of the warfare. Holy living and declaring the truth of God and His Word in a sinful world. The idea of the text here is that Dad, Father especially, is a mighty warrior with arrows who are His children in His hand. Like David, when he went out to battle, had many arrows in his quiver to meet the enemy, so dads especially and parents are given arrows by God, which are children. Dads especially were called to be mighty men. We're called to be men who exemplify this spiritual warfare in our own lives. Men who know truth. Men who love truth. Men who are leaders in living in holiness and godliness in our own lives. Dads, we're called to train our children in this way by being examples and teaching them as well about this warfare. Teaching them about the causes of the kingdom of God and training them for their place in those causes of the kingdom of God. We are to train our children to be sharp arrows in this spiritual warfare, who one day will take their place as warriors as well, fighting in the service of God. And that's not just the calling then of fathers, but it's the calling of parents and a calling of teachers as well in the schools as they stand for the parents there and on their behalf during the day. But now we understand generally what that calling is. We want to understand that more specifically. We're called to train then our children for spiritual warfare in a sinful and wicked world. What does that involve? Well, the figure of an arrow teaches us a couple of things about that. The first thing is this: we are called to shape the spiritual lives of our children in dependence on God's grace. Understand clearly what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we have to save our children, that we have to work in their hearts. We, of course, cannot. That's the work of God. But that doesn't take away from us the calling that we have to shape them and their minds and their hearts and their actions. Or we can put it another way. Head, hearts, and hands. That's what we want to mold and shape in dependence upon God and His grace. That comes from the figure of an arrow. The warriors of that day would not get their arrows from a factory where they were all made exactly the same way. But instead, each of these warriors made his own arrows. And when he made those arrows, a lot of work was put into the forming and the shaping of those arrows. Not just any stick would do for making an arrow. It had to be the right kind of wood. It had to be the right thickness. And not only that, but how many branches from a tree come off the tree straight? And so the warrior would have to mold and shape that branch into an arrow. He would have to do some carving. He would have to do some straightening of that stick. He would have to put a point on it, a head on that arrow, so that it would be a good weapon in battle. And then that arrow would have to be properly weighted, and probably a feather put on the end of it, so that it would travel through the air in a right and a good way. Much work was put into the forming and the shaping of those arrows so that they would be ready for use in the battle. A warrior would carefully prepare his arrows for that battle. We see in that the calling that we have, especially as parents, to mold and shape our children spiritually. It's a molding and shaping of their minds, the way that they think, a molding and shaping of their desires, what they seek after and desire, a molding and shaping of their actions so that they are living or learning to live, to walk in holiness and in godliness. That doesn't simply happen. God has determined that He will use the instruction that parents give to their children for that to take place. It happens over a long period of time. The number of years that God gives those children to us as parents. It's not just a couple of years. It's not just a couple of months. It's something that takes place over a long period of many years that our children are given in our homes. So we're to mold them and shape them in their minds and hearts and in their lives. That means that one of the things that we must make sure is that they don't form their religion, their values, their thinking from the world. We must be very aware of that. We must make sure that our children and our young people are not taking their thinking and their values from this world. The world in which we live has a very different view of parenting, doesn't it? The world in which we live says that children ought to really be just kind of let go and allowed to make their own choices. In our day, that's even gone to this extreme, that children are allowed to choose whether or not they're a boy or a girl. There's all kind of confusion about that in the world today. And it doesn't matter how they've been born or what physical anatomy that God has given to them. In the end, when they're of a certain age, they can determine for themselves whether they want to be a boy or a girl. That's the parenting found in this world. Don't shape, don't mold them, but instead just kind of let them go. Provide the things that they need but let them find their own way in this world. Give them information and let them make their own decisions. We can be sure of this, that Satan and this wicked world as well will not use that kind of viewpoint towards the children of the world or the children that are found in the church. Satan, as he uses this sinful world, wants to shape the minds and the hearts and the lives of our children. He wants to do that. And he has access into most of our homes, if not all of them, through the screens. And you can be assured that what's found out there in the world is not morally neutral. But instead, there's an agenda behind it all. The agenda is to pollute the minds and the hearts and the lives of the children of the church. The television programs are there for that. You can be assured that Hollywood has an agenda to conform the minds and the lives of our children to the image of this world and the thinking of this world. We are fools if we ignore this. We're fools, really, if we give our children unlimited access to the television, unlimited access to the World Wide Web, unlimited access to books and magazines. We're foolish if we do that, because what we're doing, even though we take them to church and send them the catechism and maybe spend a few minutes reading the Bible at the end of our meal times, what we're doing is handing over their lives, their minds, their hearts to the world and giving them all kinds of contact with that and expecting that even though they're spending most of their time watching television or looking at things on the web, that that won't have an effect upon their souls and upon their hearts. It will. We must not allow the world to shape the minds and hearts and the lives of our children. But instead, we must be doing that. And the way that we do that is we shape them and mold them by the instruction that we give them. And the instruction that we give them is focused on this. It's focused on the kingdom of God. Part of this teaching our children is teaching them about the enemy. We're to teach them about the enemy that they face in their lives. We're to teach them not to desire to live like the world. It may seem like a lot of fun, but in the end, it's not. The way of sin always leads to destruction. We need to teach that to our children. We must teach them that the course of this world does not result in joy, but instead in great sorrow. It always results in destruction. Instead, our lives must be focused on the causes of God. That's what we must live for. What we're teaching our children is that what's important in life is that we be shaped and molded really by this. This encapsulates it all. That in everything we do, this is what we're focused on. We're focused on pleasing God. Living for the glory of God. And that those aren't just words, but what we want to do in the whole of our lives as the people of God, saved by grace and by grace alone, is to live for the glory of God by obeying His word and commandments. I want to teach them that they are to work as citizens of the kingdom of God. That they are to desire the spread of the gospel in the line of generations. And that they are to live for the spread of the gospel outside of the church of God. That's all part of living for the glory of God. To accomplish that, there must be discussion in our homes. That means that there has to be time that's taken where we're sitting around our tables, we're sitting in the living room, we're going into their bedrooms at night before they go to bed, and we're talking, and we're listening, and we're instructing, and all the things that they face in this world. There's a great danger that our homes face right now. I mentioned screens before. Of course, it's not just the television, it's not just certain websites and so on, The other danger that's found there is the amount of time that is spent on our devices. One of the great dangers that there is for our homes right now is that our faces would be glued to our devices. And that's not just for kids, but that's also for moms and dads. We know, of course, that they can be tools for much good. They may help us in our business. They may help us to be more efficient in some of the things that we do. But there's also a great danger to be found in these things. So our children, our young people, when they have a phone and there's an alert that goes off that they have a text message, they just have to reach for their phone and see who it is that is messaging them and contacting them. Very easily we find our identity in those things. That we're being contacted by a lot of people and texted by a lot of people, and we have a long list of friends that are found in our contacts. It's beyond Facebook. It's beyond this. It's to this that we find our identity in those phones themselves and the fact that there are people who want to contact us and talk to us in that way. And what happens is that the relationship with a phone, the relationship with a screen becomes the most important thing. For some of us who are older, that may seem somewhat foreign. I already date myself. When I talk to people about this and say, well, I can remember when I got my first computer. I can remember a time when we didn't have a computer at home. I remember typing a paper out on a typewriter. And some of you kids might even wonder what a typewriter looks like. But this is the world that our children are growing up in. And it's not that they have to get rid of all screens and get rid of all phones, but we really want our children attached to these things and unlimited access to all the wickedness and filth of this world. But the danger here is especially in what it does to communication in our own homes. So that instead of spending time together, we're glued to these phones, and then out with all kinds of others. Here's what we have to be asking ourselves in our homes and families. Are we dedicated to taking time together where we're talking about the things of the kingdom of God? I know it's very easy when the kids get older and they're teenagers and so on that they're off in every which direction almost every night. Parents, if we're allowing that, what are we thinking? Why are we doing that? We might say, well, it's just so busy. It's crazy. Well, it is. It's busy and it's crazy. But we make decisions every day about how we use our time and what we're going to do. The Word of God here reminds us that because of the importance of the instruction that must take place, the shaping and molding that must take place, we must be giving this instruction, taking time to do it. We need time in our homes to discuss God's Word, to sow the seed of God's truth, to understand the Scriptures and apply that to our lives from a biblical perspective. We need to make sure that this is happening, that we put our phones down during that time. There's a time of day when we just get rid of those things and set them aside so that we have time in the Word and time to talk about the things of the kingdom of God. We want to make sure it's the Word of God that's molding and shaping our lives, and even molding and shaping the way that we use a phone, that we use a computer, that we use a tablet. Those things make awful masters. They do make wonderful servants. We have to make sure that we're not being ruled by these things in our lives, because that takes away from the calling we have as parents to teach and instruct our children. It's not about being old-fashioned. It's about being faithful to what God has called us to do in His Word. So there's training that must take place. But that training takes place as we're aiming for a goal and a target. Arrows are meant to be aimed and then released. The idea is that our children are meant to be trained and instructed. They're meant to be molded and shaped so that they can be aimed and released into this world. Arrows do no good as ornaments. So also that's true of our children. The goal of our parenting, that which we're aiming for, is not that we look good and that our children look good, but instead that they be released for service in the kingdom of God. We should see and understand then this morning that parenting is not simply about providing a roof over their heads and clothing for their backs and good table manners. Now we take them to the sports practices and we give them piano lessons and we do those kinds of things with them, and then they're off on their own one day to do the same thing with their own children. We don't say to our children, well, I've provided everything that you need. Now, go figure out your own way in this world. It's time to become responsible and make some decisions on your own. That's not the goal of Christian parenting. And the goal of Christian parenting is not simply their children don't embarrass us in mire or they don't embarrass us in church. It's not simply we don't want lazy kids who grow up into lazy adults who make us look bad because they aren't responsible or they don't have good manners. The aim is so much higher. It's not about us. See, if we think that way, it's about us. It's about just getting through it. But the aim is the glory of God. The aim is Jesus Christ and service in His kingdom. What we are aiming for with our parenting is that they live as citizens of God's kingdom in the service of Jesus Christ. What we aim for is that they're active in the causes of God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal for them is that they would be faithful to God and His truth. We want sons who will be faithful husbands and fathers one day. We want daughters who will be faithful wives and mothers one day. And if they're not married, we want them to be faithful and obedient to God in the single life. We want them to serve the Lord in what they do. So we teach them. We teach them about that. And we exemplify that in our own lives. We want children who, when they get older, are praying for the kingdom and supporting the kingdom causes with their time and money and abilities. That means that we teach them that in this world there is so much vanity that is worthless and empty. We teach them as well that there's one thing worth living for. One thing. That's the thing that we looked at in our Heidelberg Catechism class this past Monday. We looked at the petition, Thy Kingdom Come. What a beautiful petition that is. But Jesus reminds us that this is the kingdom that we live for. And it's a kingdom worth living for. It's a kingdom worth living for because it's a kingdom that lasts forever. Remember first through third graders? In catechism we talked about that with Daniel. We saw that it is a kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is a kingdom that lives forever. Remember that stone that came rolling down the mount and destroyed that great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. And that little stone grew up into a mountain that filled the whole earth. We saw that that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's a victorious kingdom that is forever. That's the kingdom worth living for. And as parents, that's what we want to teach our children. This is the kingdom worth living for. No matter what the circumstances of their life may be. Now that target, that aim, is more specific in the text when we look at the end part of verse 5, which says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The idea there is that the children, one day, when they are older and mature, they will speak with the enemies in the gate. Understand that, we need to understand something about the gate of the cities of that day. The gates of the cities function as an important part of life in those cities. These gates were the social center of the city and really of the church. It was the place where business deals were worked out. It was the place where the leading men of the city would gather. It was the place where the elders of the city would gather as well. So not only business things worked out, but in addition, the elders would make judgments there about the lives of some who were brought before them. And so this is the place, you might say, of the consistory meeting, where that would take place and rule would be shown over the city. Disagreements were settled there between the citizens of the kingdom. But it was also a place where you would find enemies. enemies that were found within the city who were walking contrary to the laws of the city, but also that was the place where the enemies would attack the gates. It was considered the weakest part of the wall. But here we find the idea that these children who are molded and shaped in dependence upon God's grace, that they arrive there at the point when they are adults and they speak against the enemies. They fight against the enemies. The idea is that these children, who once were arrows to be formed and shaped, they now take their place among the ranks of the church. It's not that they're simply successful in business, but instead the idea is that they were living members of that city, really of the church. They loved the church, and so they spoke against the enemies of that day, standing for truth and godliness. Is that not what we aim for with the children of the church? We mustn't forget this. We have here the big picture of parenting. Sometimes we might think, I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to get through from one day to the next with all the busyness and all the craziness that's going on. And we can understand that. Anybody who knows what it's like to take care of many young children in the home especially, but even when they're older. Sometimes, some days, we're just trying to get through. We can't forget the big picture. What we're aiming for, what we want, is that these children will one day stand on the front lines of the church. They will rise to the defense of the church. They will rise to the defense of truth. They will rise to the defense of godliness against a wicked world. We must not forget that some of these boys in catechism, some of these boys who stand up here for the Sunday school program, and maybe some of them look like they're not paying much attention, they're wandering and all the rest. But one day, that little Johnny might be a pastor, elder, a deacon in the church. He's going to be a husband and a father according to the will of God. And little Susie, who seems so nervous up there and will hardly speak out because she's so nervous and pulling on her dress and maybe pulling it up a little too far for the parents' comfort, she's going to be a wife and mother in the church one day. One who's going to lead in a good way among the women of the church. That's what we want for our children. We want to prepare them for their place in the church of Jesus Christ. We want to instill in them a love for the church as the people of God. We want them to serve the church and use their gifts and abilities for that. So we as parents want to equip them and train them with that in mind. What's going to set the solid foundation for them so that they can take up their place in the church as living members in the service of Christ? As we do that work, there is joy that is found. The text speaks of that. Verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Having children that love God and walk in His ways is a wonderful blessing for parents in the church and for the church as a whole. The Scriptures speak of that in many places. Parents have no greater joy than to see that their children walk in the truth. Read in Psalm 128, verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. The book of Proverbs speaks of that as well, the great blessing of children who are walking in God's ways and they're older, and what joy and delight that brings to parents. In contrast to that, what sorrow there is for parents when their children are not walking in God's ways. Many know that sorrow as well. But the idea is understanding that joy which is to come when there are children after they're molded and shaped and trained in God's ways, that they take up their place in the church as warriors of the Lord Jesus Christ, what joy that gives within the church. And that affects our perspective of things. So we've looked at this perspective before, and I won't go much into it this morning. Looked at that especially with verse 3, the perspective we ought to have towards children. But the text here speaks of a full quiver. And that's the desire as well of parents. They want a full quiver. Understand this. A warrior, when he goes into battle, never complains about having too many arrows. He never complains about having too many. It'd be awful if he didn't have enough. But he knows he needs as many as he can take with him into the battle, because he's going to go through those arrows as he's fighting the enemy. And so also that's true in the church, isn't it? We want many arrows. We want many warriors, as it were, within the church, according to the will of God. We want full quivers. That's the perspective that we have in the church. Not a selfish perspective. Not how hard and difficult it is for me. But we want warriors who serve God and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not told what a full quiver is. It can be one child. It can be two children. It can be four children. It can be six children. It can be 10 children. It's however many children the Lord is pleased to give us in His infinite wisdom in our homes. We understand that that's controlled by the sovereign work and appointment of God. God guides and gives, and He controls the number of children that are found in our households. But the point is for us is that that ought to be our desire, and we ought to live out of that desire as well. And there's where we find joy in all the difficulties and hardships of parenting. There's no doubt about it. It's hard work. It requires, as it were, blood, sweat, and tears. It's full of pain and sorrow. But we remember the goal. To have children one day who are walking in the ways of the Lord, who are taking up their place within the church, loving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving them. What joy there is when we see that as parents. Now, we have to have the right perspective of that too. Not, I'm so proud of my kids. It's not because of me. But instead, it's because of the saving covenant grace of God that works in the line of generations. We're called to be faithful, don't get me wrong. This doesn't take away the responsibility that we have before God to be faithful in the work that God has given to us, but it doesn't depend on us. It takes us right back to the beginning of the psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let's not try to do it in our own strength. We'll fail when we're trying to do it in our own strength. We depend upon the Lord. Our joy is found in what the Lord then is doing in the building of our homes and in the building of the church. This morning we have joy, don't we? Joy because we've been reminded of what God is pleased to do in the line of generations. Joy because we're reminded of what our chief calling is, not to provide physically for our children, we have that calling too, but to teach them the ways of God. May we do that, trusting that God will bless that and use that for the accomplishing of His purpose and for the glory of His name, so that from generation to generation we see children's children and peace upon Israel. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, that's what we pray for, that we continue to see children's children walking in Thy ways, children's children serving the Lord Jesus Christ, children's children serving Thy church and kingdom in this world, so that spiritual warfare is carried on from generation to generation, and we see the victory that Thou dost give in the church in that line of generation. We pray, Father, that we would see that. That we would see that in the way for teaching and instructing our children. Give us strength as parents to be faithful in this work and calling for the glory of Thy name. And when we hurt and when we despair in this, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt renew our strength to take up this work and calling again in obedience to Thy word and commandments. All these things we pray, trusting that Thou art our Father who forgives our sins when we are weak in this, and trusting that Thou will give us all that we need to be faithful. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.